May our light grow this Advent season. Welcome to all at Prairie Street as we gather remembering the arrival of Emmanuel, God with us. Remembering that God is present here and now among us. And looking ahead, knowing that God's holy intention is the reign of God. God is coming. Let us join our voices, raise our hearts, rise in body, or if rising in body is difficult, rise in spirit, and turn in the hymnal to 178, Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus. And now, in your purple bulletin, in the call to worship, let us join our voices. Now is the time of waiting and watching. We wait expectantly for the Messiah, for God's promises to be fulfilled. Pay attention, be still, and know that God is with us. The signs are all around us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us pray. God of hope, it is a world of chaos in many places for many people. Yet we stand and gather here in faithfulness on your promises. knowing that you are always near, that you care for us, you care for our world, you love us, and you love this neighborhood and our world. We wait in expectation for the arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we trust in you and remember your promises, being filled with love for you and for one another in this season of waiting. Amen.
Please turn the green Sing the Journey book to number 54, Longing for Light.
Thank you.
And please turn in the blue hymnal to number 172. 172, O Come, Emmanuel.
Confession is a confession of what is true. Speaking the truth about ourselves, and our world, and seeking to name and draw nearer to the truth and hope that is God. Let us pray. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls. O our God, in you we trust. Do not let us be put to shame. Do not let our enemies, seen and unseen, known and unknown, recognized and unrecognized, exult over us, crush us, turn us from your way. May the world's fear not become our fear. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. For you we wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Guide us into your time, your advent, your arrival. As we call upon your name, hear our prayers and give us life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And now I invite you to rise to hear these words of assurance. God does not shame us, but lifts us to new life. Lead us in your hope, O God. Teach us your love. You are the God of our days. We wait for you to come. Amen. In this belief of hope, I invite you to extend a hand to your neighbor, saying, "Peace of Christ be with you," and respond,
we have a lot of firsts today. It's the first Sunday of Advent, the first day of our new church year, but it's also the first Sunday of the month, and that means that we bless people who have birthdays or anniversaries or special days happening in this month. And I found out that one of our tiniest, sweetest people has a birthday today. So if you have a birthday anytime in December or a special day that you would like to celebrate, you come up here with me and these beautiful young women here. And maybe her big sister can tell us your sister's name and how old is she today?
She's Samantha and she's complete four.
Okay, Ash's little sister's name's Samantha and she is 4 years old today. All right, so are there,
I'll let you pass the mic. Just yesterday I was 75.
I'm turning 40.
On December 18th, we will have been married for 25 years.
On December 12th, I'll be 30.
Oh my goodness, this is a big Sunday. So, friends, extend your hands in blessing, and let's pray for these ones who are dear to us. Almighty God, you created all these people in your image. You love them, and so do we. And we thank you for all the times that you have been with them this past year, in their individual lives, in their marriages, in their families. We thank and praise you for being with them in times of sorrow and challenge, as well as times of joy. Lead these dear ones, continuing to follow your Son Jesus in the year ahead, and bless them with all good things. Amen. Thank you. Oh, we're clapping. Okay. And it's also children's time, so the rest of the children, you want to stay here with me, and the rest of the children can come forward because Jeanette Crable has something for you.
Welcome to everyone, big and small. We're passing a basket. If you have something to put into it, go ahead, drop it in. It's for doing the work of God somewhere in our world. There we go. Thank you very much. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent. I hope you notice now that you're a little closer, look up at our candles. They're special colors. There are four of them. We'll light one each Sunday. And if you see in the front of the altar there, I think you can see it, there is a word for today. It's hope, yeah. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Each Sunday, there'll be a different word for you to remember and think about as we wait in this time of Advent, as we wait for Jesus' birth. Waiting is not always something that we humans do too well. And it's sometimes especially difficult for small children and not so small children to wait. I don't know if you have that problem, but waiting teaches us some things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. It's a time of getting ready as we wait for Jesus to be born. And it's a good time to remember why the world needs Jesus, why we need Jesus, and how can we get ready for that? So waiting, like I said, was hard. Some of you might be saying, I can't wait till Christmas. You see them, you hear the music, you see the sparkly stuff in the stores and the commercials on TV, and you say, I want that and that and that, and it's a little bit hard to wait. And you know, that's just the way it was for the people of God at the time of Jesus. They were waiting. They felt like they needed somebody to come and save them and help them. They were scared and confused. And they had been waiting and waiting, and they were almost out of patience. They hadn't always obeyed God, so they were a little bit scared that way. And they hadn't always listened to the messengers of God, the prophets. Things didn't look so good. The kingdom had fallen apart. Their temple was destroyed. Their families were separated. It was a sad time. They were living in a scary time when everything seemed to be out of control. They were living in fear, and things were just a mess. They wanted a Messiah or a Savior to come and fix everything. We might say, let's get a superhero here to take care of all of our problems. Have you ever felt like that? You need a superhero to come and take control of some problems? You're pretty little, but little kids have problems too. We all do. So, sort of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? No matter what age you are, there are things to worry about and to fear. Sometimes things seem just too big for us to fix. I want you to think a little bit about something that you might be worried about or are sad about or fearful of. If you can't think of anything, just praise God. But if you can think of one thing, I want you to just put your hands like this. Because just as those birthday people received blessings from our congregation, we can hold our fears and our troubles and everything out to God. So just put your hands like that. That's that fear, that worry that I have, God, it's right there. So just keep it there in your lap. So that's where this banner comes in. Our word from the Lord today is hope. That's a big word. It's a little bit hard to understand, but that's the word we want you to think about this week. It's hard to understand, but hope is trusting that whatever you have in your hand, God is in charge. It's knowing that God is bigger than anything in our lives that is going wrong. God's bigger than any of our problems. God's bigger than anything we fear. Bigger than worries we have in school. Bigger than bullies who might make life difficult for us. Bigger than any sickness we may have. Bigger than sadness we feel when someone dies. Bigger than any family problems. Bigger than the problems we see in our city, our country, our world. Bigger than all that. That's our hope. God is bigger than anything we fear. That is our hope. So you keep your hands like that. And I'm going to have the big people also put their hands on their laps. And they can also put their fears in those, their worries, their loneliness, whatever it is. And we're going to offer it up to God as we sing a song that some of us might know, I think. It's called Give Us Hope to the End. And it goes like this. When this time has come to an end, sing a song of joy. We have seen enough sadness in life. Give us hope to the end. We're going to sing it two times. And I had to bring my singer with me because I'm not real good at this. So I'm going to take off my mic so you don't hear me. Hold your fear right here. And we invite the adults to sing with us, but hold it right there and offer it up to God.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 21.
Lucas capítulo 21.
There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing nigh.
Habrá entonces señales en el sol, en la luna y las estrellas. En la tierra la gente se angustiará y quedará confundida por causa del bramido del mar y las olas. El miedo y la expectación de las cosas sobrevendrán en la tierra hará que las personas desfallezcan. Y los poderes celestiales se estremecerán. Entonces verán el Hijo del Hombre venir en la nube, con poder y gran gloria. Cuando esto comience a suceder, amínanse y levanten la cabeza, porque su redención estará cerca.
Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the earth.
De cierto les digo que todo esto sucederá antes de que pase esta generación. El cielo y la tierra pasarán, pero mis palabras no pasarán. Pero tengan cuidado de que su corazón no se recargue de glotonería y embriaguez, ni de las preocupaciones de esta vida, porque aquel día no les sobrevenga de repente, porque caerá como un lazo sobre todos los que habitan de faz de la tierra.
Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man.
Por lo tanto, manténganse siempre atentos y atentas, y oren para que les consideren dignos y dignas de escapar de todo lo que habrá de suceder, y que presentarse antes el Hijo del Hombre.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra del Señor. Gracias a Dios.
Today, on this first Sunday of Advent, our beloved Twyla brings the word of the Lord to us. She is a graduate from Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary, a member of this congregation, and a mother in this community. Let's pray for Twyla. May the words of Twyla's mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
This Advent season finds us and our entire world in dark, unsettling, and fearful times. The turmoil and distress in this world, in this country, in this city is great. The daily headlines reveal that all is not right with the world. Far from it. Nations and cities are ruled by leaders who govern according to their own self-serving interests rather than according to the best interests of the people. Our leaders perpetuate fear, condoning violence and spreading hatred towards others. So little value is given to kindness and compassion in a world that aches for them. The established structures and systems fail the vulnerable people who so desperately need them. We see racism and other isms in our government. I can hardly bear to think about what is going on at the southern border. People who are fleeing violence are met with hostility and more violence instead of sanctuary. This systemic brokenness is very much at work even in our city, most recently coming to light in the reported abuses within the Elkhart Police Department. Creation is groaning under the weight of misuse and overconsumption. The scientific evidence is clear that our global climate is changing rapidly. Scientists also overwhelmingly agree that these rapid changes are the result of human activity. Some scientists believe that the damage is irreversible, and the impact is threatening our lives and the life of the natural world. Wildfires and hurricanes and floods claim lives and leave incredible chaos and devastation. All the while, on an individual and collective level, we fail to alter our life choices because it's easier to numb ourselves to the ways that our choices cause damage. Our community here at Prairie Street is unsettled by changes and loss and accompanying uncertainty. Grief, pain, and doubts plague many of us in our personal lives on a daily basis. It is a lot to bear, and it is a challenge to stay engaged. How helpless we feel, how quickly we can get swept up in despair. In light of all of this, today's text seems like a real downer. We desperately hunger and thirst for good news. Instead, we are given a terrifying glimpse into the end times. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. All of creation is swept up in turmoil. The impact of the end times upon the natural world will be especially unsettling and will increase the people's distress. Luke's reference to the signs witnessed in the heavenly bodies echoes other voices in Scripture that speak to the end times. Isaiah and Ezekiel speak of the sun, the moon, and the stars ceasing to provide light. Mark speaks of stars falling from the sky. In these end times, the land will be covered in darkness. Day and night become indistinguishable without even the moon to cast a glow. Predictable rhythms of day and night disappear, leaving the world in a deep, unsettling darkness, adding to the terror and the confusion. Jesus' description of the end times begins earlier in Luke 21, as Jesus responds to the disciples' curiosity. In his typical style of bold truth-telling, Jesus speaks of the devastation of war, earthquakes, famines, and plagues, families torn apart, the persecution of believers, and the destruction of Jerusalem. This is a time of sheer terror and calamity. But this chaos is not the end. It is the beginning. In the midst of all the chaos and devastation, Jesus tells his followers that they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Here lies a most astounding transformation. Jesus' followers go from fainting with fear and foreboding to standing with courage and confidence, raising their heads to receive their promised redemption. Here we learn that Jesus is not a bearer of bad news, as it seemed. He is actually a proclaimer of hope, announcing that the end times will give birth to the reign of God, the time when God's rule of shalom is established, the time when God will wipe every tear from their eyes, when death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more, when the first things have passed away and God makes all things new. Jesus' followers can take courage during times of deep distress. Our hope does not lie in this world, but is deeply rooted in the new creation and the God who promises to make all things new. Though heaven and earth pass away, Jesus promises that the word of God will not pass away. Isaiah made a similar declaration. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The word of God endures, and ultimately, it is a word of hope. It is the story of a loving God who was always with us and promises us that the pain and brokenness of this world is not the ultimate reality. When everything is falling apart around us, the Bible can be our source of hope and courage. Like these words from Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." From Psalm 46, "God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult." And from Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jan Richardson, an artist, writer, and ordained minister, says the following about hope. "Hope does not depend on our mood, our disposition, our desire. Hope does not wait until we are ready for it, until we have prepared ourselves for its arrival. It doesn't hold itself apart from us until we have worked through the worst of our sorrow, our anger, our fear. This is precisely where hope seeks us out, standing with us in the midst of what most weighs us down. Hope has work for us to do. It asks us to resist going numb when the world within us or beyond us is falling apart. In the height of despair, in the deepest darkness, hope calls us to open our hearts, our eyes, our hands, that we might engage the world when it breaks our hearts. Hope goes with us, step by step, providing the sustenance we most need. That we might engage the world when it breaks our hearts. A very hard thing to do. It seems it would be much easier to find ways to detach from the pain of this world, to avoid the troubles in our life, to escape or find ways to numb ourselves. Jesus cautions against this temptation. "Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of this life. There is a balance to strive for here. How do we engage the world without being swept away with despair and hopelessness? Jesus calls the disciples to be alert at all times and to pray. To make our way from this world through to the next will require opening our eyes and our hearts. We will need to pray and continually orient and reorient ourselves to the promises and values of God's reign. We need to keep watch, to pay attention to what God is already doing in the world around us, to see through the seemingly never-ending anguish to the ways in which God is already making things new. We need to find ways to immerse ourselves in God's vision and longing for shalom, a vision of healing and beauty. Years ago, in the midst of a lengthy, uncertain personal struggle, I decided in the fall to prepare for a flower garden. I didn't know how things in my life were going to unfold, but I had a sense that I needed to create space for beauty to emerge. Planting flowers in the spring and witnessing the garden come to life increased my joy and nurtured my spirit. In late September of that year, I received the terrible, unexpected news that a close friend of mine was dying of cancer. The beauty of those flowers became my comfort and my consolation, and an expression of love for my friend as I gathered a bouquet for her. When a part of my world was crumbling, flowers continued to bloom and thrive. Their beauty was a sign of hope for me that sustained me through the eventual loss of my friend and sustains me still. Immersing ourselves in beauty is a discipline, a way of practicing hope, a way of feeding our souls. It has the power to draw us out of despair, even if just for a moment. Beauty is a lens through which we can see how God is already at work in our world, making all things new. Beauty can be seen and received even beyond the natural world. Beauty can even shine through the erupting headlines. Just this week, I read about a church in the Netherlands who is protecting a refugee family from deportation by holding a continuous worship service. The law prohibits officers to enter a church during a religious service, so hundreds of pastors and other volunteers from all over the country have committed themselves to continuing the service around the clock. As of this past Thursday, the service had surpassed 800 hours. They say they will continue the service for as long as it is necessary. Last month, in the wake of the massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, in which 11 worshipers were killed, Islamic groups organized fundraising efforts to extend support to their Jewish brothers and sisters. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were raised. In a letter of gratitude, the president and the rabbi of the synagogue responded, "The outpouring of support from our local communities, the nation, and indeed the world, has shown us that love and kindness will always win over darkness. This is a remarkable time in our history, and we draw our strength by coming together. Your gift is an act of love. Thank you for joining with others and proving that we are stronger together." Beauty emerges in powerful ways, through actions motivated by love and care and compassion for those around us. In the midst of describing the end times and exhorting them to be on guard and to pray, Jesus tells those around him the parable of the fig tree. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the reign of God is near." When we live our lives grounded in prayer and open our hearts to the hope nestled within God's enduring word, we are able to see for ourselves the glimpses into God's reign and understand them as tangible signs that God is close at hand. These glimpses give us the strength and the courage we need to engage this beautiful, heartbreaking world with wonder, awe, and hope. Amen.
Please turn in the green, Sing the Journey hymnal to number 98, All Will Be Well. We will sing verses 1, 3, 5, and 6. Verses 1, 3, 5, and 6.